Today being Passover Sunday, we're going to look, I'm sorry, not Passover Sunday, Palm Sunday. We're going to look at John chapter 12, Jesus anointed at Bethany. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of things in here you already know. We're going to look at those. This is going to be more this morning, I believe, of a preaching on my part, okay? And after the preaching, we'll open up to questions or suggestions. But I believe this morning will be more of a preaching, okay? And sometimes we're going to do that. And I know you're okay with it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Jesus anointed at Bethany. I'm going to read through this. I'm going to go through and we're going to point out some things. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. Jesus' triumphant entry, Palm Sunday. Okay, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted. Now I'm reading from the Living Translation. They shouted, "Praise God!" Mm-hmm. Your translation might say, "Hosanna!"
Right.
In the Hebrew, that means save now.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God! Hosanna! Save now! Mm-hmm. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel! Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. It was the reason so many went out to meet him. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Glory to God. Let's back up a little bit and let's look at some obvious things in this passage, which for you, and it is a pasture too, it's a pasture of God's word. We're going to eat real good green this morning. But let's look in this passage and some things I know that are probably obvious to you. And then I want to share with you something that might not be as obvious to you that the Lord, Holy Spirit ministered to me. Okay, first of all, just so for the sake of explanation, for those that might not know, I know, or as an early Christian, I was confused about the whole Good Friday and the whole Easter Sunday thing, and I just tried to get the math. Being a person who is a thinker, I tried to get the math to figure out. Now, how can he be crucified on Friday and third day? You know, that's not going to equal out to be Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to remember, we have to take this back to the Eastern way of thinking and calendar. To the Eastern, to the Jews, to the Hebrews here, The new day starts when the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday, the day he was crucified,
mm-hmm.
okay, when the sun went down on Friday, the next day began the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? So actually, get this straight. On Thursday night, Thursday night, when the sun went down, they took him at night, which was against their own law. You don't try people at night. But Jesus himself even prophesied and said, people that do things that are evil do them in the dark. Because if they were doing what was right, they do it in the light so everyone could see their works for what they were. So they took him Thursday night. They had the trial Thursday night. But when the sun went down Thursday. Got me? The sun's going down Thursday. They're trying him, what we would call Thursday night into Friday morning. He goes on the cross. Thursday night to Friday being the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night to Saturday being the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night when the sun goes down to Sunday morning is the third day.
Mm-hmm.
On the third day, he did rise again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus being born a Jew, he obeyed the Jewish laws and the Jewish regulations. He said, I came to fulfill the law, not to debauch it and do away with it, but to fulfill it. So he honored all that during the time that he was born. So that's how it comes out like that math-wise, just for the sake of information if you've ever wondered, okay? Okay, let's go on down to just this sentence here about a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor, and Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate. Stop and think about that.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was once dead.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was once dead ate. See, we shouldn't skip over anything. We should marvel at the greatness of God. A man who was once dead sat down at this meal and ate with the Lord Jesus. Now you look at Mary giving this 12-ounce jar. I'm not going through this verse by verse. But she anointed him with what is equivalent to a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume. And I want you to help look how Judas criticized her. There will always be people in life that will criticize you.
Mm-hmm.
Always. But look, when a person is criticizing you for anything, there's always a deeper motive than what they're criticizing you for. Look at Judas. There was a deeper motive. He just wasn't criticizing her because she wasted the perfume. He was criticizing her because she probably gave regularly to the offering. And he knew that if that money had gone into that bag he carried, he would be able to dip his hand into it and to get some of it. So when someone criticizes you for something, he was actually criticizing her worship, that she wasted that. Can you imagine how that would make the Lord Jesus feel? For Judas to say, what a waste.
Well, we actually know how Jesus felt.
Yes, and he expressed it, didn't he? He said, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.
It was actually a pound, which is considered 12 ounces
a pound
of fragrance.
Which some people say that could possibly be Mary's dowry. You know, girls had to give a dowry to get married. They had to give a gift.
To give her best gift.
Right. Yes. But she saw that Jesus was worth it. She poured out her whole life, all of that costly perfume. You know, it's like she was saying, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't ever get a chance again in life to get married. You know, Jesus, you mean more to me than anyone else. And you are worth it. You are worth it. And you know, Judas criticizing her here for this, and God defending her as the Lord Jesus always does. The Lord Jesus will defend us when our motives are pure. See, Mary's motives were pure before God. When our motives are pure, we might get criticized for it. But God will always defend us when our motives are pure.
Yes.
He will always defend us. God will always speak up for us, okay?
Kathy, because that's a good way. Because that the word right there, motive. Judas's motive was in darkness. His motive was wrong. That's why he was criticizing.
That's right.
He had an evil motive.
That's right. That is right.
Kathy.
Yes.
But think about this too. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew all about his motive, knew his heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he kept him. Mm-hmm. He kept him. He kept him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept with the money. I mean, you know.
Well, that's how he fulfilled the prophecy, I think. Everything was already there. He knew that.
Yeah, he knew.
The Father told him all that. So I'm pretty sure he knew. He had a snake in the grass.
Yeah.
And you look at how people flocked to Jesus because of the miracle he had done concerning Lazarus. Mm-hmm. And I want to say when God does, we should seek God for miracles in our life.
Yes.
We really should seek God for miracles in our life, because when God performs miracles in our life, it will be an encouragement to other people.
Amen.
It will be an encouragement for them. When God heals our body, when God provides for us, we comfort others with the comfort we have received from God. And we see here that they hated Lazarus because he was a walking testimony that God was with Jesus. Who can raise the dead except God be with them and anoint them to do it? So they hated Lazarus just like they hated Jesus, and they sought to kill him just like they did Jesus. Because every time they saw Lazarus, it reminded them of what Christ had done, and that he and convicted them, that they, those that had rejected him. Okay, let's go on down to verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way swept through Jerusalem. Okay, now we're going to go back to this as far as the palm branches. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But I want you to go on to verse 14 and look at that. Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." Okay, hold your place there. Go over to Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9. That's just a... Zechariah is next to the last book in the Old Testament. This is a prophecy the Holy Spirit had given Zechariah. Like I said, it's next to the last book in the Old Testament.
What is it?
Zechariah chapter 9, starting at verse 9. Jesus came as a humble king. Yes, he did. He came in humility. That's what it means to ride on a donkey.
Yeah.
Most kings, when they go to battle, they don't ride on donkeys.
No.
They ride on horses. Okay? I want to read this, and I want to share a thought to you, with you about respect. About respect, okay? Zechariah chapter 9, starting at verse 9. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." Some people think it's a weakness to be humble. Look, Jesus, it says here, God is saying he's righteous and he's victorious, but yet he's humble and he's riding on a donkey. And the next verse goes on to say that your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the end of the earth. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Okay, it's like Jesus is saying, do you accept me? Will you accept me as being your king? It's a difference, got this phrase from my husband, it's a difference between commanding respect and demanding respect. Some folks demand respect, and some folks command respect. Jesus got the respect of these people this day because he was righteous, because he did what was right in the eyes of God. A person that thinks they have to be loud, flamboyant, you make a person do what they want him to do, they are trying to demand respect. And a person might do that just to please them, but they really don't respect them. Now today, in this passage, we see that these people respected the Lord Jesus. Why did they respect him? Because they received him. And they received what he had to say. You had a thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, comment? Causes for definition of humility. Power under control.
Humility, power under control. You see, if you know you got authority, you don't have to go around and announce you got authority.
Right.
When you walk into the room, or if you walk in righteousness, mm-hmm. people will seek you out for answers and instruction. Mm-hmm. You don't have to run to them. Do you, you know the problem with people that always say, if you want to know what I think, nobody ever wants to know what they think. Nobody really ever wants to know what they think. You can, that, you know, that,
no.
You should wait till people ask you. Mm-hmm. So even though he came on a donkey, he knew. See, he was secure. He knew the purpose that God had called him to do. He knew he was victorious. God says, I've declared him to be victorious. And he knows it, and he's riding in on a donkey. Mm-hmm. He's riding in humility because he knows who he is.
Okay, next thing. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes riding back into Jerusalem, what's he going to write on?
You're preaching my message this morning. You're preaching my message.
Read your notes.
That's one.
When that's right. When he comes back, he will be on a white horse.
Yes.
He will be, because he will be a conquering king.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
When he comes
Amen.
Back, he came in as a humble king, mm-hmm. submitting and saying, will you receive my peace? Mm-hmm. Will you
He's
receive me?
Authority.
But when he comes back, there's not going to be a matter of will you receive me. There's going to be a matter of why didn't you receive me?
Hi.
I was just reading something. That it said three times in the New Testament, women anointed Jesus' feet.
Mm.
Three. It just happens to be three times his feet were anointed.
Mm.
Wow.
And it was with expensive oil.
Mm-mm-mm. Mm.
Just like at his birth. Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Kings 1:33,
mm-hmm.
David had Solomon to ride on his own personal.
Oh, that's right. It's an incarnation. Mm-hmm. Oh, not incarnation. It's a coronation, not incarnation. It's a coronation of a king.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Remember at that time, there was one of his brothers
mm-hmm.
wanting to take over the kingdom. But when they saw, that's a good point, Carol. When they saw Solomon on King David's donkey, oh, that's an excellent point right there. Because who do you think had that donkey right there? The Father God. That was the Father God's donkey. That colt that he had saved and reserved for his son. Just like, that's an excellent point, Carolyn. Just like David said, put Solomon on his donkey. So the Heavenly Father said, I've chosen this for you. You know, God doesn't do anything by accident. God does everything on purpose. I think that is the neatest account in the scripture. One of the neatest. There's lots of neatest things. But I love it when there's like the Lord Jesus foretells things. Like he said, you're going to go into the city. And you're going to find this donkey, and you're going to find a colt with this donkey. Loose them, and if anyone happens to ask you what you're doing, you tell them you have need of this.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll release it and let it go. And that was exactly, he went to the city and saw it just like he said.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So I wonder.
And the owner didn't say anything. Like,
No. I want to talk to you about something a little different this morning. That maybe you've, and I know we just skimmed through this. I know we did, but I want to speak to you this morning about the significance of a palm tree in this passage. Okay, this is what the Lord ministered to me, and I want to minister it to you this morning. Okay, now, you know, God does everything on purpose. God does the economy of God. God does not waste anything.
That's right.
That donkey was made by the Lord Jesus, for the Lord Jesus, and for the Lord Jesus' purpose.
Yes.
And these palm branches that you find here in this passage, they mean something, Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
They mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bethany. Interesting enough, Bethany, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany. Bethany means the house of dates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know what dates grow on? Palm trees. It just so happens that in Bethany, the greatest variety of palm trees most common is the date palm.
Mm-hmm.
So Bethany was named the House of Dates because they had lots of palm trees. Now, do you think it was on accident that God chose Bethany for the Lord Jesus to come riding into? Do you think it was on accident that Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in Bethany? Mm. No, everything is on purpose. Everything that happens in our life is on purpose, on point with God. Amen? Okay, so here are all these palm trees. And I want to tell you a little bit about the palm tree, okay? The palm tree is, and it's not indigenous. You might think I'm saying indigenous, but I'm not saying indigenous. The word I want to tell you is endogenous. Endogenous. The palm tree is endogenous, and this blessed me. It means when a tree is endogenous, that means originating or growing within or on the side of something. It means growth from within. Okay, now you might think, what in the world has that got to do with anything this morning? When the palm tree reproduces, it reproduces from within itself.
Wow.
Okay, endogenous is the word.
In other words, there's no seed.
There's no seed. Mm. Get this. Okay, when the palm tree grows, it takes 8 years after they plant a palm tree for it to produce fruit. 8 years. But after that palm tree begins to produce fruit, it can bear up to 100 pounds of dates. Mm. And it lives for 100 years. It is a long-lived, fruitful, useful tree, the palm tree. Endogenous means, and my husband gave me an example of this when we were talking about it. Endogenous, yes. E-N-D-O-G-E-N-O-U-S. Endogenous. E-N-D-O-G-E-N-O-U-S. Originating or growing within or on the side of something. Growth from within. Growth from within. Okay, wait a minute. Now, this is what happens. I said, honey, I was talking to Dean about it. What does that mean? He reminded me of a plum tree we have in our backyard. That tree served its purpose, produced plums, but there came a time when I decided I was going to prune that tree, okay? And I got my son up there, and we botched that tree. Dean said, who in the world ever taught you how to prune a tree? That tree was pathetic looking. After that, it didn't bear much of any kind of fruit. But before that, I would have little plum trees all over the yard. Mm. Little plum trees. From the root of that plum tree, see, it's an endogenous tree. Mm. They grew up from the side. Like the roots are under the ground, produce another tree. The roots are under the ground, produce another tree. The roots are under the ground, produce another tree. Didn't have to plant that tree. It grew from within itself. Yeah, it grew up from the side of what it was. From within itself, it reproduced. Mm. Now, church, you ought to be about ready to know where I'm going now with this. Mm. Glory to God. Now, because I'm on a roll here now, I'm not going to stop you. I'll just have to bear with me, okay? I'm on a roll here. I want you to go ahead and turn to Psalms 92:12. What in the world does this mean to us? I'm going to go back. I know some of you are burning with some questions. I know some of you got some things to say. Just hold it. Let it marinate. Go to Psalms 92:12. Look what we are supposed to be, church. 92:12. Look at this. This is our blessing for this week. But the godly will flourish like palm trees. Woo! Glory to God. God does everything on purpose. Look. The righteous, the godly, were worshiping him with palm branches. Mm. Only the godly and the righteous could do that. Mm. No wonder the hypocrites and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders didn't have palm branches out there, and they were criticizing those that did.
Motive.
Because only the godly could do that. Only those that knew that Christ was victorious and he was the king could do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Psalms 92. But the godly, and the Amplified Bible says the uncompromisingly righteous.
Yeah.
The uncompromisingly righteous. The righteous who will not compromise. They will not back down. They will not shut up. They will not give up on what is truth. They know it's truth. They know it's God's word. They know it's right. It doesn't matter whether you try to put a cherry on top or whether you try to put chocolate syrup on top. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It's right, it's right. The truth is the truth. It doesn't need to be decorated. It's the truth, and it'll stand by itself. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Woo, that's our blessing for this week. Lord God, we, your body, called by your name, Father God, called by the name of your Son, we want to be, we desire to be the uncompromisingly righteous. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, remove all compromise from our life. Let our talk not be full of compromise. Let our walk not be full of compromise. Let our character, the way we act, the way we treat other people, not be full of any compromise whatsoever. Because God, we want to flourish like the palm tree. Glory to God. You want to live a long life, then you walk uprightly before God. The palm tree lives to be 100 years. It's fruitful. You know what? In the Middle East, most of the time, they have substituted the date from the palm tree for bread.
Mm-hmm.
Bread is the very staff of life, as they say.
Yes.
This palm tree can be used for making baskets,
mm-hmm.
couches, purses, rugs,
roof,
front roof buildings. You talk about, you want to be useful in the kingdom of God? Be uncompromisingly righteous. I'm not going to back down on what is right. I'm not going to call what is right wrong. And I'm not going to call what is wrong right. God says there's one thing he hates. When God says he hates something, that ought to get our attention. God says, I hate it when you call what is evil good. And I hate it when you call what is good evil. The godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. The palm tree is lofty and evergreen, has evergreen foliage that crests to the top of the tree near to heaven. Now let me just break that down for you. The palm tree stays green all the time. The palm tree stays green all the time. And look, I heard you, Denise. I didn't skip you. At the very top, see, all of this is on purpose. At the where it's green and leafy and evergreen is at the very top of the tree. It's like it's reaching up to heaven. That's our source of life. That's our source of strength. It's from God. Evergreen. It doesn't ever turn brown. It's always green, green, green for God.
Well, think about it. The dead palms are always on the bottom of it.
Wow, the dead palms are on the bottom. Getting all the smog and all the other stuff that nobody wants, right? The Amplified says that the palm tree is long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. And did you know also that palm trees are used to decorate the temple?
Wow.
We individually, and that scripture reference was in Chronicles, so you know, that scripture reference is 2 Chronicles 3 and 5. Although we are individually the temple of God, do you know when we walk in righteousness like that palm tree, that we are God's decoration?
Yes.
Wow. We become God's decoration. God is saying, this is what it's like. This is what it's like to belong to me. This is what it's like to be in my presence. This is what heaven is like. This is what my temple or my dwelling place is like. Amen?
Amen.
Denise, you had a thought, ma'am.
Well, is this the next verse, 13? Psalms, their roots will be firm in the house of the Lord. So even we're evergreen, like he was saying, no seed, but our roots are firm in the house of the Lord.
Wow.
That's how we stay upright and strong.
That's
a firm in the
good
Lord.
Point.
That's, right.
That's absolutely right. We flourish in the courts of God in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we stay green, right,
mm-hmm.
Denise? That's how we flourish. That's how we become upright and stately and useful. But look at that. God compares us to a palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be long-lived.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be stately. I want to walk upright.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be useful and I want to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be useful in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Well, rude.
Yeah. I want to be a, you know what? To those people that love to decorate and their house looks really nice, you get a double blessing when you have something that's beautiful but yet it's useful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's useful, but it's beautiful too. God says, your righteousness is my decoration.
Yeah.
And look, the righteousness comes up within like the palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
The righteousness comes up within us. And we are righteous, so what do we produce? What comes out from us as shoots?
Mm-hmm.
Righteous acts, righteous
mm-hmm.
deeds.
Mm-hmm.
We're palm trees. If we're like, well, not palm trees, but if we're like palm trees in comparison,
mm-hmm.
and we're stately and useful and upright and righteous people, then there are things that are going to be coming up from
mm-hmm.
our life. There's things that are going to be shooting up from our life.
Yes.
That are going to be a blessing and help to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
And my last thought on this, I want you to go back to verse 12, and John 12:12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, save now. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." The Jews always commemorated victories by carrying palms. It was prophetic. They knew God has given the victory through the Lord Jesus. The Jews always carried palm branches to commemorate victory. Now, I want you, and look, I'm about to come undone. I'm just about to come undone. He says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. I am meant to walk in victory.
Yes.
My life commemorates the victory of Christ Jesus. My life shows forth the victories or commemorates the victories of Christ Jesus. And I am righteous, uncompromisingly righteous. He says, you're like that palm tree. You're commemorating my victories. Glory to God. You're showing forth my victories. Oh my. You know, when you walk in righteousness and other people around you are not walking in righteousness, when you're doing the right thing and other people are not doing the right thing, when you don't open your mouth like Christ Jesus didn't, he said it opened up. They reviled him, but he opened not his mouth. He left it up to the righteous Father. He left it up to the righteous Father to vindicate him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just like with Mary, when Judas Issachar criticized her for wasting what he called was a waste of that perfume, Jesus spoke up and said, leave her alone. God will defend you.
Yes.
If you let him, if you let
yes.
God be your defense, God will defend you. Don't try to defend yourself.
Yes.
Let your righteous character defend you.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Let him do your fighting for you.
Glory to God. He says that you will condemn them by your righteous character. Your righteous character will condemn the words that are coming out of their mouth.
Yes.
Your righteous character, your righteous acts, you being like the palm tree that's flourishing and walking with God, your righteous character will condemn the words that come out of their mouth.
Amen. That's right.
Glory to
Amen.
God. Turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. The Jews commemorated victories by carrying palms. Glory to God. I saw palm trees in a whole different way. I never knew Holy Spirit was going to do that when I started reading this passage. You know, I just don't do any, many, mighty, mo, let me pick a scripture and go. I just don't do that. I seek God, and I was like, Lord, there's something special for your people today, something you want us to know, Lord. And as I began to read this, and the Lord began to say, look up palm trees. Holy Spirit said, look up palm trees. It's there for a reason. Oh, my Lord, that's what you say we are, God, that we're going to flourish like those palm trees. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in the front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I tell you, they were prophesying that day. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were prophesying what was going to happen and be fulfilled even in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
And they were doing it for every tribe and every nation. They were doing it on our behalf. I wasn't there, but they were doing it on our behalf. That was prophetic. They were welcoming. What if they had rejected Jesus that day? What if they had rejected him? You say, well, he's God. He's God. It wouldn't have mattered. He could just, No. God has set things in order, saints of God. God has set things in order. Things have to happen a certain way in God's order. Yes. It had to happen that day. That day they had to say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And God, you know what? God had the right people there to do it.
Yes.
God had the right people there to do it. Because you look over what I read for you. Look over there what I read for you back in John 19. Then the Pharisees said to each other, there is nothing we can do. Glory to God. When God sets up what God's going to do, those are the words of the devil. There is nothing the devil can do. When God sets up what God's going to do, there is nothing that the devil can do.
Amen.
Nothing. That's right. Get the hell out the way.
No.
Wow. See, what the thing for us is that we have to be in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to tell you, the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. You want to be in the right place at the right time. Keep your life and your walk righteous before God.
Wow.
And you will be the steps of the righteous. That's not just the steps of anybody, but the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. What does it mean to be righteous? It means I know the one who is my righteousness. I know the one who is inside of me, and I am producing out of his character like the palm tree that reproduces from within itself. I am reproducing out of the character of the one who is in me, who abides in me. And he didn't compromise, and neither will I.
No.
He didn't compromise, and neither will I. Glory to God. Glory to God.
I have a small testimony.
Yes.
You know, I'm a teacher assistant at Clemson Road. Last year, they started an aftercare program, which I work a lot. And this year, I'm working a lot. The lady that started it could no longer be the director of it because she has other things. The school district told her that she can no longer do cat cares. That's what we call it. So she told me, she came up to me and she says, I need to speak to you. And she says, I can no longer be director of cat cares. She says, you're the first person that I thought about. She says, I want you to be director of cat cares. And she says, of course, there will be I get paid being my school assistant, but I also get paid for doing cat cares.
Mm-hmm.
She says, your pay will go up.
Glory to God.
So, but she said, we will get into details after spring break for next year.
Mm.
Praise God. Praise God. And it's not that I'm